Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 15, Text Number 5. The Descendants of King Priyavrata. Pratihat Svarchalayam Pratihartra Dayastraya Asan Ijya Kovidha Sunava Pratihartum Sutyam Aja Bunanav Ajanishantam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the womb of his wife, Svarchala, Pratiha begot three sons named Pratiharta, Prastota, and Udgata. These three sons were very expert in performing Vedic rituals. Pratiharta begot two sons named Aja and Bhuma in the womb of his wife named Stuti. Text number 6. Bhumna Rishkulayam Ugitas Tata Prastavo Devakulayam Prastavan Yutsayam Ridiyaj Asid Vibhur Vibho Ratyamcha Prityusenas Tasman Nakta Ukutyam Yagye Nakta Druti Putro Gaya Rajarshi Pravara Udara Shrava Aja Yata Sakshad Bhagavato Vishnor Jagad Virakshiya Ya Gihita Satvasva Kala Mavatkari Lakshanena Mahapurusham Prapta. Translation. In the womb of his wife, Rishikuya, King Bhuma begot a son named Ugita. From Ugita's wife, Devakuya, a son named Prashtava was born. And Prashtava begot a son named Vibhu through his wife, Niyutsa. In the womb of his wife, Rati, Vibhu begot a son named Prityusena. Prityusena begot a son named Rakta in the womb of his wife named Akuti. Nakta's wife was Druti, and from her womb, the great king Gaya was born. Gaya was very famous and pious. He was the best of saintly kings. Lord Vishnu and his expansions, who are meant to protect the universe, are always situated in the transcendental mode of goodness known as Vishuddha Sattva. Being the direct expansion of Lord Vishnu, King Gaya was also situated in the Vishuddha Sattva. Because of this, Maharaj Gaya was fully equipped with transcendental knowledge. Therefore, he was called Mahapurusha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this verse, it appears that the incarnations of God are various. Some are part and parcel of the direct expansions, and some are direct expansions of Lord Vishnu. A direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Amsha or Swamsha, whereas an incarnation from Amsha is called Kala. Among the Kalas, there are the Vibhinamsha, Jivas, or living entities. These are counted among the Jiva Tattvas. Those who come directly from Lord Vishnu are called Vishnu Tattva, and sometimes designated as Mahapurusha. Another name for Krishna is Mahapurusha, and a devotee is sometimes called Mahapurushika. Next verse. They wanted this included. It has a longer purport. Savaiswa dharmena prajapalana poshana prina no pala lana nushasana lakshanene ya dinacha bhavati mahapurushe paravare brahmani sarvatmanarpita paramarta lakshanena brahmavich charananu sevaya padita bhagavad bhakti yogena. Chabikshanasya Pratibhavitati Shuddha Matir Uparatatnatmya Atmani Swayam Upalabhya Mana Pramatma Nibhavapi Nirabhinma Na Evavaniam Ajugupat. Little painful, but Janani Vas Prabhu, if he could limp through them, I thought I should follow his example. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Gaya gave full protection and security to the citizens so that their personal property would not be disturbed by undesirable elements. He also saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. This is called poshana. He would sometimes distribute gifts to the citizens to satisfy them. This is called preenana. He would sometimes call meetings and satisfy the citizens with sweet words. This is called upalanana. He would also give them good instructions on how to become first-class citizens. This is called anushasana. Such were the characteristics of King Gaya's royal order. Besides all this, King Gaya was a householder who strictly observed the rules and regulations of household life. He performed sacrifices and was an unalloyed, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was called Mahapurusha because as a king, he gave the citizens all facilities. And as a householder, he executed all his duties so that at the end, he became a strict devotee of the Supreme Lord. As a devotee, he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. This is the bhakti yoga process. Due to all these transcendental activities, King Gaya was always free from the bodily conception. He was full in Brahman realization. Consequently, he was always jubilant. He did not experience material lamentation. Although he was perfect in all respects, he was not proud, nor was he anxious to rule the kingdom. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, when he descends on earth, he has two types of business: to give protection to the faithful and annihilate the demons, Gritranaya Sadhanam Vinashchaya Chaduskritam. Since the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's sometimes called Naradev, that is, the Lord as a human being. According to Vedic injunctions, he's worshipped as God on the material platform. As a representative of the Supreme Lord, the king had the duty to protect the citizens in a perfect way, so that they would not be anxious for food and protection, and so that they would be jubilant. The king would supply everything for their benefit, and because of this, he would levy taxes. If the king or government otherwise levies taxes on the citizens, he becomes responsible for the sinful activities of the citizens. In Kali Yuga, monarchy is abolished because the kings themselves are subjected to the influence of Kali Yuga. It is understood from the Ramayana that when Vibhishana became friends with Lord Ramachandra, he promised that if by chance or will he broke the laws of friendship with Lord Ramachandra, he would become a Brahmana or a king in Kali Yuga. In this age, as Vibhishana indicated, both Brahmanas and kings are in a wretched condition. Actually, there are no kings or Brahmanas in this age. And due to their absence, the whole world is in a chaotic condition and is always in distress. Compared to present standards, Maharaj Gaya was a true representative of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was known as Mahapurusha. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanatamarandasya Giranjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapatandikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Dishatarne Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. If I may be honest with you, I'm feeling a little weak and diseased in terms of the service of speaking the Bhagavatam, message of the Bhagavatam, and I would like to ask for your help. If you would say a prayer to Srila Prabhupada, to Sri Guru, that maybe even I could say something pleasing to our spiritual master. I think actually it will be to the great benefit of all the Prabhus in this room, so if you don't mind, please be kind and do so. So, as Ananda Tirtha Prabhu said to me yesterday, we're out of the forest of material enjoyment. It was a good beating. It was a good beating on the false ego and the desire to enjoy sense gratification. Now we're getting to hear the descendants of King Priyavrata. Many kings and their wives are described. You can't be any Joe Schmo and be mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We take the dust of the lotus feet of all such exalted personalities. But if you notice in the first verse, three sons expert in performing Vedic rituals, Pratiharta, Prastota, and Ugata, they don't get any purport by Srila Prabhupada. Probably not the previous acharyas either. But when we come to King Gaya, a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord, a true representative of Lord Vishnu. In fact, in text number 6, it's stated he is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Kala Atma Vata Adi, a being, a direct incarnation of the Lord. And I have an inclination to understand that he is Jiva Tattva. Empowered. He is called Mahapurusha, but Srila Prabhupada said this is because he was the expert representative of the Lord, Naradev, the king who rules the citizens rightly. They deserve all respect as if given to God. Rupa and Sanatan, they even gave their king such respect when Lord Chaitanya was touring through Bengal with such huge numbers of devotees. And he was asking them, who is this? And they tried downplaying him so he wouldn't be envious and cause harm or disturbance to him. And the king became thoughtful and he said, no, this is a sannyasi beggar. He's not paying them anything. All these people are following him. He must be a representative of the Supreme Personality. He would say the Supreme Lord. No ordinary individual. So respect is given to the king, to the government. They have their responsibility. That's our responsibility, to offer respect and pay taxes. When they don't measure up to their duties, then they have to suffer. As Srila Prabhupada said, become responsible for the sinful activities of the citizens. Elsewhere we hear 1/6 of the mass karma of the citizens. An unbelievable huge burden upon them. They have no idea how much they will suffer. As the blessing is, better you live and not die, because you're enjoying like a king now, but watch out when you leave your body. So these verses are describing King Gaya. And in text number 7, it fully describes him. It describes his varna. It describes his ashram. And it also describes him as he is, who he really is, which is a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. That's what causes such glorification of this personality in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what we can benefit from, hearing of his activities, of his qualities, of how he pleased Krishna. Because that's what we should want to do. Most of us are not leaders. Most people are followers. When you hear of King Rishabhdev's sons, I forget the amount. There were 10 Brahmins, and then Kshatriyas, there were a few more. But it's like that. Most of us are in the lower categories, and then you get a few in the Kshatriya, and then Brahmins. Brahmins are so rare. What to speak of in Kali Yuga? Bibhishana, when he came to fall at the feet of Lord Ramachandra, all the monkeys, servants of Lord Ram, said, don't trust him. Don't let him come. Don't accept his service. He's a brother of Ravana, our sworn enemy. The abductor of Mother Sita. And Ram, of course, his famous declaration, anyone who surrenders once unto my lotus feet, I give them all protection. Of course he accepted Bhibhishana's surrender and service. And Bhibhishana appreciated that so much. And he wanted to declare his chastity, his loyalty, his submissiveness to Lord Ramachandra, that he said, in essence, a vow and a potential curse, if I am by chance, what to speak of desire to give up my friendship, my service to Lord Ramachandra, I will take birth as a Brahmin or king in Kali Yuga. Being Kali Yugaites, born in this degraded age, what's the big deal? Priyena payasha sabya kalav asmin yuge jana mandasumanda matiyo mandabhagya yupadrutaha. We're used to being quarrelsome, lazy, having short lives, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. That's the norm. That's what we're conditioned by. It's our second nature, as it were. Bhibhishana in Treta Yuga, surrendering at the lotus feet of Ramachandra, he knew better. He didn't want to be born as a Brahmin in Kali Yuga or a Kshatriya. A Shuddha Shuddha Kalpa he, Brahmana Kali Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas will be born as or like Shudras. And from that verse in Skanda Purana, we hear Srila Prabhupada often say, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everybody is born Shudra in this age. And actually, that's an exaggeration. That's kind of being kind. Narada Muni, in describing Varnashram in the seventh canto to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he explains that the Shudras had such good qualities that are conspicuously absent in all of us two-legged animals before becoming devotees. Service in Varnashram causes one to steadily do the right thing and to become purified and make advancement. It's such a perfect system given by Krishna. Kali Yuga at this time, what do we know about Varnashram? We discuss it here, there, threadbare, trying to apply it. Oh my goodness. So very difficult. What to speak of becoming a pure devotee of the Lord? Because Varnashram helps, culture helps. What do we have? It might be pretty dark. It's a dark painted picture. But two verses are in the Bhagavatam that glorify this age. Kalim sabhajit yantya arya gunagya sarabhagina yatra samkirtane naiva sarvasarto bilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, All perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. That's from the 11th canto. And then most people know this verse, Kaler doshanit hey rajan asti yeko mahanguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijay. My dear king, Parikshit, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's what we have. That is everything. But we're so foolish, we don't want to take the medicine as it is, as it's prescribed. It's so simple, we have to complicate it. That's due to all the reasons or qualities that Maharaj Gaya does not have. He's not overcome by material lamentation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this world, this life is full of unlimited circumstances to cause us to fall victim to lamentation. Prabhupada in one purport of Bhagavad Gita says, what's the quality of a Shudra? He laments. Circumstances push us to want, to desire, to be victimized by greed, lust, anger. All bad qualities. Maharaj Gaya doesn't have this. Why? He's a self-realized soul. Janani Vasprabhu made the distinction very nicely yesterday. He realized he was not this body. Srila Prabhupada says it in practically every lecture he gives. We're not this body. Ever get tired of hearing it? You're not that body. And you think it'd sink in. And it is, incrementally. We don't suffer like the two-legged animals out there, the unfortunate conditioned souls who have not had the association of the devotees, who have not taken advantage of the association they've been given. No, we live a blessed life. Unfortunately, sometimes the blessings we receive from Srila Prabhupada, we cash in for glass trinkets and beads. For things that are available in all species of life. Human form of life, our opportunity as a devotee, an aspiring devotee, is to yearn and to pray for receiving that which you can't get from the highest planet to the lowest planet. That which is not of this world. What is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the false ego, the tattoo, the scar, like you see some burn scars sometime on devotees. Saw one on a brahmachari's leg the other day and it winced, thinking how painful that must have been. The false ego, the bodily identification that we're influenced by, causes us and is fed by our desires to enjoy the trinkets, the glass beads, the temporary pleasures of this world. We are never, and that's a strong word, and I'll have to qualify it, but I'll finish the sentence. We're not going to get out of the bodily concept of life if we don't want to. A lot of times the problem isn't that we don't have the desire to be a devotee. The problem is all the other desires, the weeds, the baggage we foolishly clutch, hold on to, pull as you will, Guru pulls as he will, the Vaishnavas pull as they will, trying to free us of the burden of these material desires and lamentations. No way. We've got to suffer some more. But the association of the devotees in the Mahamantra has all power, all potency. And it does purify the heart. It is a gradual process for most of us. When I said never, Srila Prabhupada says one can chant Hare Krishna for hundreds of lifetimes and still not achieve the desired result if one clings onto one's material attachments despite hearing so many instructions on this matter. For the longest time, I would say these offenses to the holy name are not really being committed while we are chanting our japa. They're things we think, say, do when we're not chanting. But by the grace of Prabhupada and his servants, I'm beginning to waken up to actually know one root, one offense that causes all other offenses, that all other offenses come from, we tenaciously cling to while chanting the holy names of Krishna. And what is that? Inattentiveness. Inattentiveness. Chatura, I hope the internet is working. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I give all respects and glories to the Prabhus giving this service. And when it's there, are we happy to take advantage of it? We have no idea how many devotees are watching or listening. When it's not there, that's when it's like, Hare Krishna. That's a good lamentation. That's a good, oh, Krishna, if only I deserved, if only you would be kind to let me hear. But yesterday she asked me, what are you taking away with you this trip in Mayapur, this visit to Mayapur? We leave in a couple of days. I said, well, some dhotis, t-shirts, some socks, underwear. But I slept on it. And what I'm sharing with you is really what I am praying to take with me. I could very easily go on about the duties of the leaders. It's so easy to see the shortcomings of our leaders. You know, our eyes have been opened up sufficiently by Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru that, you know, we can see the faults of others. That's not difficult. But I don't want to do that. There are others who are more empowered to do so. And when I say empowered, I mean because they want to help, not hurt, or drag down, or simply be argumentative, or superior, or I know what Srila Prabhupada wants. Listen to me. This is the problem. No one's listening to me. This isn't the problem. Our problem is we don't sufficiently care. And it starts with our own self-envy, that we're not throwing out the dirty garbage in our own heart. It's inattentiveness. It's everything. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Hare Krishna is so simple, so sublime. It is the most effective process for self-realization in this age. No other process can give the results that chanting Hare Krishna can. But we don't take advantage. You can't chant and do something else. When you have love for Krishna, then that's another matter. But because we're not doing the needful in our own heart, then it's very easy being influenced by the desire to influence, to control others. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, the association of devotees are like crutches. They support us. We're lame. We need each other. But when you don't do your part to help me, insufficient me, then I'm not grateful. I am critical. I'm dissatisfied. Now, Krishna consciousness is all about the balance. Whatever I say, another Prabhu or myriad of Prabhus can say something to balance it, to put emphasis on the abe. We know that. I'm just trying to share my heart with you. Because I'm victimized by my false ego and arrogance. I find myself somewhat shackled, hobbled, and unable to help in many ways. But I will share with you, every day I pray for our leaders in the GBC, in our Mayapur management, my Prabhus I'll take shelter of in San Diego. I pray for them and many others. I can do that. That's wanted. It's purifying for me, and the Lord hears. The Lord hears. I've found that when you are friends with the leaders, when they know you respect them, they're so much more apt to take note of what you say. I could give a lot of examples, but I won't waste the time. It's a fact. When we care for each other, we show it by our actions and our words. An obstacle in devotional service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is miserliness. We are meant to be givers. Not it's about me taking. I want the bliss of Krishna consciousness. I want the facility of Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, that's all right. Srila Prabhupada, the Nectar of Instruction, says devotional service is very practical. It is practical activity. And you know what he says right after that? Anyabhi lashitasunyam jnana karmadya anukulyena krishna anu. Oh boy, I love it when I stumble. Anukulyena krishna anu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That's practical. Anybody at any stage can perform pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is not about perfection. That's our material concept in this world. Pure devotional service, the acharyas, Rupa Goswami, they explain it's the desire to please Krishna. That's anukulyena. That's favorable. You simply want to please Krishna. It's not that you do everything perfectly. And it's so easy to quote a myriad of examples. Vidura, when he's peeling the banana in love for Krishna and he gives the banana to Krishna, was that perfect? No, that's an outright mistake. Catch one of the pujaris doing that. See what kind of flack he catches. When Jai and Vijay kept the Kumaras out of Vaikuntha, Monday morning quarterbacking, would you say, that wasn't perfect, that was a mistake. They were cursed to come down to this world, serve the Lord as demons. But they did it out of a desire to please the Lord. They were doing their service, their duties as best they could. And Srila Prabhupada was of the same nature. Krishna is like that, and his pure representatives, his unalloyed devotees, they are like that. Prabhupada doesn't miss words. Pure devotion, that is what we need. We don't need these bodies. We don't need anything in relationship to the body. What to speak of the trivial, temporary pleasures of this body? Those are all anarthas, unnecessary. But we, the living entity, eternal servant of Krishna, we need his service. We need his eternal service. Prabhupada sees that. And he tells us in every purport, every lecture, every morning walk, he's trying to give it to us. And we just have to accept it. It's there. Accept it as it is. And yet, simultaneously, he makes it seem so easy. Doesn't he? Chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. When I joined the temple, I thought everybody, including this Prabhu, was a pure devotee. I thought I was a pure devotee. Well, a long time ago, I realized I wasn't. And it didn't take that long for me to start seeing, wait a minute, there's some cracks in the china here. Is this a pure devotee? Are they pure devotees? How many of you experienced the same thing? You thought all the devotees were pure devotees when you joined. It's common, right? Prabhupada gave us that vision by hearing from his purports. That's a gift. Do you still have that vision? Prabhupada does. To his disciples, he said, my disciples are all pure devotees. I know a few Prabhupada devotees, and that just doesn't quite fit the poster hanging in the post office. We don't have to be perfect. Prabhupada doesn't expect perfection. He wants your best. He wants you to try hard as you can. That's what he wants. That's what he saw. My disciples, I am giving them nothing. I am not paying them. They left everything. They're sleeping on the floor. They are undergoing so many austerities just to help an old man in his service to his spiritual master. He is, was, and always will be so grateful, oceanically grateful. That was his vision. That allows you to see the good in others. You don't have to be blind to the faults. In fact, because you are so grateful and you care about the Prabhus, then you want to serve them if you can. Help them overcome their shortcomings. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes chastise the disciple where we would feel like mosquitoes, tiny, little, insignificant fools that we are. You're useless. Some disciples who rendered intimate service, they got so much mercy. You're useless. And that's the fact. The point was, we submitted ourselves to be chastised to Srila Prabhupada because we knew he loves us. He cares for us. He's only trying to give us service to Krishna. And the master decides what is service. Not the disciple, not the devotee. They decide what constitutes pleasing devotional service. That's what we should be trying to help each other. Everything Prabhupada gave us is about getting the mercy and the service of the holy names. Everything in ISKCON, it's meant to bring us to that point. Bhaktivinoda says there's nothing else in this world, in all 14 worlds, except the holy names, service to the holy names. But we get stuck on angas of the holy name. All the branches, the limbs of devotional service are contained in the chanting of Hare Krishna. All of them have to be performed simultaneously with the chanting of Hare Krishna. When you are a lover of Krishna, loving, pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna, you will always be chanting, remembering Krishna in however you serve him. But we don't get it. We get stuck sometimes on all the other things that are supposed to be uplifting us to the holy names. They're all important. Everything that Srila Prabhupada gave us in this process of devotional service is important. Everything is absolute. Any and all of it can bring us to perfection by the grace of Guru and Krishna. I try to start out with the easy things. Get the easy ones under our belt. Because the longer you're a devotee, the way the mind and false ego influence us is, let's cut this corner, let's cut that corner. There's always a good reason why, because I have to do some service, or I want to do this, I like to do that. We're only harming ourselves. The attempts to take shortcuts or to jump over the process as it is giving cheats us of the results. It prolongs the inevitable. Complete surrender to Krishna. So when you take to the easy things and get those under your belt, then you build, you build, you build. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever level of devotional service you're at and you're steady in, now understand what's the next step. Put it in front of you as a desire, as a goal, and aspire to reach that level of surrender. That's what the Association of Devotees is meant to do. Now, because we get absorbed and distracted by our vision, tinted by the false ego, we don't even appreciate what exalted association we have in each other's company. There are some advanced Vaishnavas here, and it is most important to associate with those who are very advanced. Serve them. Please them. It's a shortcut. That is a bona fide shortcut to getting mercy and advancing in Krishna consciousness. But it's so easy not to appreciate advanced devotees. And forget if they're not advanced, sincere devotees, trying their best. And if they're not trying their best, they're trying. Srila Prabhupada was so, he's throwing a net of ISKCON for the whole world to be caught up in. My mind was thinking of a fishing net, and he's trying to catch everybody. Unfortunately, the majority of us, I was never a fisherman, but I know, having heard, carp. It's a species in America, and they're bottom feeders. Most people don't eat carp. Some people think it's a delicacy. But what do they subsist on? All the garbage in the stool that floats down to the bottom of the river. And Prabhupada's catching it all. Most of the catch is carp. We're unqualified. Let's admit it. That's the first step to regaining our health. So why should we be surprised when you screw up, you screw up? Good God, I even made a mistake. Why be surprised? Be appreciative when somebody admits or tries their best to learn from and grow in Krishna's service. You see, when we work on ourselves, some of us haven't, I'll speak for myself, haven't got past the second verse of Shishastika. It's all there in the names, but I don't have attachment for those names. If we have a taste for chanting, when that 16th round is finished, you don't want to put the beads down. Some of us, with some sincerity, we raise the rounds, the number of rounds that we can chant here in Mayapur. When we get to that round, whatever it may be, if we're happy to be putting the beads down at that time, it's a very clear symptom. We're still really so far from just the beginning. The second verse. So why shouldn't it be easy? Two, absorb ourselves in the chanting with great care. If we give up our false pride and consider ourselves to be worthless, destitute, lower, and more humble than a blade of grass, and if we practice forgiveness like a tree, I see these people bringing in these orange flowers, the nice garlands on Panchatattva. Man, they are stripping some trees of some big branches to bring that many flowers. Do you think the tree protests, hollers, grabs its branch away? No. All these examples are there in the third verse. And it behooves us to sometimes think about it, to hear when our Prabhus remind us of it. We've got a long way yet to go, and this movement is only going on by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada knew it. But Prabhupada was very pleased with us, and we should maintain our gratitude. And if we are able to try and help others improve their standard, Hare Krishna, what a blessing. But it's easier to say or to conceive of than actually to have effect upon the heart and the behavior of others. That takes empowerment. That's a gift from Krishna, from the spiritual master. Maharaj Gaya was fully empowered. Therefore, he could make everyone satisfied. And those who are lovers of Krishna, they too have the ability to help any sane, open-hearted person in realizing the nectar of serving Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, giving up any and all other desires in serving and pleasing Krishna. There's a saying, you can please some devotees sometime, you can please some devotees all the time, but you can't please all the devotees all the time. Even the pure devotee, even the Lord Himself, people will find fault with. It's so very easy in this age of Kali. So very easy. But just as easy is the chanting of Hare Krishna. And if we hear submissively, we participate in the activities that we're able, and don't rationalize or make up some philosophy or excuses that actually this part of the process, the instructions, the philosophy is, that's... No, if we're not envious of the standards, despite being unable to measure up to them, one can, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, come to them sooner or later. And we're all trying to help each other in that way. Sooner or later, let's surrender to the holy names. Let's surrender to the spiritual master. And if we can do that, as yesterday's verse was saying, there's real empowerment in that. A real preacher can never be called bogus. The best offering we can make to Srila Prabhupada is to try to help others in devotional service. So I think I'll stop to leave a little time. I'll be shocked if Pankajangri and Prabhus are on time, but I will be. I've put some thoughts out for your consideration. I'm ready to hear your side of the story if you would like to bless me. Jagannagami Prabhu. Microphone's right here. Can you speak loudly?
It's stated.
Thank you.
It's stated that one who has a bona fide spiritual master, that he should never lament. So that's a very important aspect of our philosophy, is that we are protected by the spiritual master and that he gives us that protection against lamentation. At the same time, your class reminded me of my former Christian background. They had an institution called confession. In order to prepare for confession, one had to examine the conscience.
Yes.
Make an examination of your conscience.
Yes.
To find out where you were at fault. So your class was a little painful to me because it was such an examination of conscience, but very necessary. I think that it's very important for devotees to introspect, consider what their situation is, especially in light of, as you say, the fault finding. The tendency is to fault find. I remember a devotee told me that the fault finding is the easiest business to get into. You don't need any capital. You don't need any intelligence. You don't need any real vision. You don't have to have any particular talents. So it's a very easy business to get into. And because one who is bereft of talent and energy and vision and intelligence, it's just natural for him to fall into that. So when we fall into that mood, we should think, well, what am I lacking? Where am I going wrong? Thank you very much for a very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Ganagamya Prabhu ki. Bhaktivinod Thakur says every evening we should take stock of the day's activities, thoughts, and words and see, where did I fall short? Where can I improve? It's a good point. Would anybody else like to add? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I was just hearing what you were saying.
Speak up.
Hare Krishna. I was, excuse me. Hearing the wonderful lecture that you were giving, which sort of touches everyone. I mean, we've gone through these phases where we think we are on the other side, we are good, and then we start to see faults in other people. And then the last point that you made, where you said every day in the evening, at the end of the day, we need to sort of play it back and then see where we have slept, and that would definitely provide insights. I'd like to add, probably, maybe we could have a check with the God brothers and then take feedback, which would say, was I doing something wrong, or please let me know. So do you think that would be a good thing to do, which would help us become a little more humble? And then we take feedback, I mean, did I do that right, or what is it? So they sort of mirror the way we were behaving or what we did not do. It's more a statement rather than a question. I mean, you think it's good?
What do you think?
Yes or no. Helps. Sorry?
You can say in one word, yes or no.
Yes.
It's very good. If you are fortunate enough to have the association that is sincere in purpose, then that's the association you want. And if you can reveal your minds to them and get instructions that you can accept, you're very fortunate. It's there if we want it. Krishna will give if we want it. So it's very important, satsanga. That is satsanga, glorifying Krishna and trying to understand how to serve Krishna.
Thank you.
Better and better.
Thank you.
Matajis? Being the last time that I'll get to address you in this forum for some time, I thank you for your association. The Dom is the Dom, and I have rubber eyeballs, and I come here and feel how hot it is, and the mosquitoes, and the trash, and but when we associate with the devotees and hear from the devotees and serve the devotees, what to speak of seeing your example of service, it transforms my tourist-like visits into life-changing experiences. I am very grateful I want to express it. Chatura would likewise express her gratitude. We hope very soon we can have your association and your blessings again soon. And I guess it would be remiss if I, maybe I committed an offense here or there. Maybe, just maybe. And I love the classic apology. If I committed any offenses. No, seriously, any disturbance or discouragement that I've caused in any way, I'm sorry. And you can verbalize it to me if you want me to truly understand and learn. But thank you again. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura.